Now, in the 21st chapter of the book of Revelation, just like you would expect in movies or novels, there are previews and there are flashbacks. A lot of people tend to think, for example, that the city that is pictured here, beginning in verse 9 through the remainder of the 21st chapter, is a picture of the literal city that will be there in Jerusalem, the new Jerusalem that is described here, and that that city will be the headquarters of God's government, but that this time ecosystem or ecosphere that we enjoy and upon which we must depend for our very survival today. If you want a parallel scripture for that, turn to 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, and begin to read in verse 10. It says, "The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up." A parallel scripture to that is over in Malachi 4 and verse 1, where it says that the wicked will become ashes under the feet of the righteous. But this projection in the second book of Peter, chapter 3, these verses I'm mentioning, 10 through about 12, are talking about the day of the Lord and eventually, as we will see, the new heavens and the new earth. Let's read the rest of it. Verse 11, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved," meaning the very rocks beneath our feet, meaning the metals that are buried beneath this earth, meaning the entire earth destroyed, as it were, at this time before the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. So there is no more human life existing on this planet, but spirit life, members of the God family, and angelic life only. No more need for oxygen because there are no more human beings. No more animals left. That's projecting clear on down past the millennium, past the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ, past the time of the great end-time resurrection we covered in Revelation 20, the end of that chapter, past the time of that judgment period of perhaps 100 years following the millennium, into the time it is spoken of as Gehenna fire, the very time it is pictured by Luke 16 and the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, where the rich man in that dream or that figurative method of speaking sees like a wall of flame approaching him, and this is the time of the final destruction of what are called spiritually Gog and Magog, or the incorrigibly wicked, in the last of the 19th chapter and the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation. Reading the rest of 2 Peter 3, of that brief passage of Scripture from verse 9 through 13. It says, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conduct," as it should read, "and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwells righteousness." So the dissolution of everything comes at a time of the new heavens and the new earth. Now in Revelation 21 and verse 1, you see what is really a projection forward into a yet futuristic time. Now, John says, verse 2, "the next thing he saw." It doesn't mean necessarily in chronological order in the way these things are going to happen, and I will prove that to you in just a moment from the pages of your own Bible. We are reading the order in which John saw. We are now reading the order in which he wrote, but we are not necessarily always to judge that we are reading in the order in which these events are going to occur, because John wrote in the order in which he saw. If you were to be sitting in a darkened theater with a notepad, and you were a very good person at shorthand, and you were dealing, as you oftentimes do, with a motion picture wherein there were many, many flashbacks, you would come to a certain segment of a person's life, and they would look off into space and suddenly realize they're daydreaming or they're thinking a nostalgic recollection of something that took place in the past, and the scene changes, and all of a sudden here they are many years younger, and they're acting out some other event in their life. And it's very commonplace. It's commonplace in novels, it's commonplace in motion pictures, and it is commonplace in the book of Revelation. Notice he said, verse 2, chapter 21, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." Now he hears these statements I've covered in the past. "I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, with men. Now, if this is speaking of men, of human beings, and yet the new heavens and the new earth are that time when there is no more sea, and when the very elements of earth are melted, and when the world takes on the form of another type of a planet, more like Venus might appear, or Saturn, or more like Jupiter, or Mars, or Mercury, and now all we have is a molten, golden, whatever, metallic appearing earth with not a drop of water left, where are there going to be any men? The point that I am making is that verse 1 of chapter 21 is a projection completely 1,100 years or more beyond the millennium, and then verse 2 is a description of the holy city, and the holy city is a type of the church. Now notice beginning in verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he said, he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. I wish I had time to write a book on the meaning of that subject. But to give you a little bit of a glimpse, what do you think the ultimate purpose for Almighty God recreating himself, enlarging his own family, really is? What does he have in mind? You ever study astronomy? Have you ever even begun to let your mind dwell on the vastness of the universe? The more than 100 million, million stars in the Milky Way alone, 100,000 light years across? The fact that our sun is a little tiny orange dwarf, that if we were to see one of the huge supernovas, they are called, among the stars out there, which are really suns, moved into the position of our own sun, it would absorb about 99% of the entirety of the area of the space between the various planets in our solar system. Now that is mind-boggling to me, to think of a star so big that it is millions of miles across. It just boggles your mind, because we live on a finite Earth and we have our various measurements of the Earth, approximately 25,000 miles in circumference and about 8,000 miles in diameter and so on, and we know those factors. But when you realize the Milky Way is only one of perhaps billions of galaxies, and when the Bible tells us that Almighty God calls every star, every planet by name, when he says, Behold, I create all things new, and when we know God, by his very nature, is creator, that he is designer, he is a builder, he is innovative, he is inventive, he is ingenious. Is he enlarging his family so that eventually, clear beyond this first little step, if that's what it is, this first little phase in the plan of God of engendering spirit beings, increasing his own family? Remember that Jesus Christ is called the firstborn of many brethren. He is called the first fruits from the dead. Then when he says, I make all things new, he is giving you a hint of a never-ending creative process way out and beyond even any need for an ecosystem on this earth to support human, physical, and animal life. Then there are a few statements such as verse 6, it is done, I'm the beginning and the ending, and so on. Verse 7, he that overcomes shall inherit all things. These are exhortive statements. These are statements of exaltation. They are ebullient statements. They are statements of joy. And in verse 8, I've covered that very thoroughly, the category of those including liars, as well as those who are fearful, and I've covered that in some detail, who will not be in the kingdom of God, but will suffer death, burned with fire and brimstone, which is called the second death, and that means they die. Now in verse 9, it shows that the heavenly city is called the Lamb's wife. The great city, holy Jerusalem, verse 10, and the Lamb's wife, verse 9. Then the walls, the gates, which are individual pearls, and I've explained in the past that that is all merely a matter of vision and analogy. But notice in verse 24, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now you have a statement that is referring to the millennium rather than the new heavens and the new earth. So you see, there's a flashback in the latter part of the 21st chapter of Revelation.